Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinich.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight, we are going to be having a fun conversation about historical and modern sex furniture, sex-specific furniture. So some might call it kink furniture, or some might call it erotic furniture. Although, if you look up erotic furniture, you're also going to get some stuff that is like Catherine the Great's collection of erotic furniture that had like penises on tables and vulvas and all kinds of fun things. That a lot of it were destroyed by the Nazis, but they did take pictures of it before they destroyed it. So we do have evidence of some of these really cool things. Catherine the Great kinkster. She was definitely a kinkster from what we can tell from the stories too. She was an avid pleasure. She was really avid with pleasure. Like, she enjoyed it. She enjoyed it all kinds. Good on her. She was the great. I think she might have been named that for more than one reason. The show isn't about her, but her furniture could be in this category if we were talking about furniture that was like carved with erotic imagery. And I bet she probably had this in a special room or a specific place, because they called it her like kinky cabinet or something. Probably she invited her lovers in there. That's my guess. But I don't know that for sure. So I'm not going to speculate, and I'm not also going to channel Catherine the Great right now. So just saying. So what is erotic furniture? Like, how do we know? Like, oh, my bed is erotic because I have sex in it. No. Erotic furniture is furniture that's specifically created and designed to either enhance your pleasure or to make positions easier. And sometimes it can look like it could fit into your room, but it was actually designed specifically to make certain sexual positions easier. A lot of the times it's just to make things a lot easier. And there are historical pieces of furniture that go back. Well, one that's really quite famous goes back about 120 years to the time of Edward VII. Queen Victoria's son, Albert, who was Edward VII. And he was quite known for his escapades, shall we say, and travels and lovers, and he got away with a lot. And one of the things that he did get away with was going to brothels quite often. And he had a particular one he frequented in Paris or France in general, but I think it was Paris, where he had this fascinating contraption made for him, because kind of like his mama gained a lot of weight in her, like as she aged, because eating five times a day with really heavy foods and not really moving around a lot, because everybody's, you know, putting you in carriages and driving you here and there. They didn't get a lot of exercise, those royals, and they were really overweight. And Edward VII was no different. He was quite overweight, and one of the issues was that he had issue actually having comfortable sex with people, women, I suppose. Probably that was his mainstay at the time. And he wasn't able to have sex in the regular get it in the bed kind of way. So he had furniture created. Now, if you're listening to this on audio, I need you to like open your imagination. If you're watching this on video, I don't have images that are going to pop up, but by all means, go and Google Henry VII's sex chair. It's quite well known. It's actually the reason why we're doing the show tonight, is because my friend had sent me this TikTok, and in it flashed Henry the Seventh's chair, and I was like, oh, you know what? I haven't actually done an episode about historical or modern furniture specific to erotic play. I might mention things here and there, but I never did an entire episode on that. And I was like, how is that even possible after over 450 shows or 500 shows? I don't even know how that's possible, but it is. So here we go. So that was fun and funny that I didn't even notice. So thank you, Edward the Seventh, for being the strange little dude, little giant, large man that you were, and that you required this chair. So this chair had two levels to it, and it had a bit of like stirrups on one side. So you can imagine that that would function, but actually historians have looked at this chair and they can't for the life of themselves figure out what the person on the bottom, so it was like two levels to this chair. You can't figure out what the person on the bottom was doing. Was it they were just waiting? I guess people have gotten on this and tried to figure out what was the bottom level for. My imagination went right to the person on the bottom was probably, maybe he had like a foot fetish and wanted his toes sucked. Don't know. Maybe he had a fetish of watching somebody masturbate while he was penetrating somebody else, and he may have had the view to be able to look down and see that happening. And this thing looked like a bit of a cart, so it was mobile. You could have moved it from room to room if you wanted to. So it's quite funny that this device, this chair, the love chair, as it's called, exists, and nobody seems to know what that bottom level is for. Now, if you guys out there are experts in sex furniture, and you happen to know the history of this piece of furniture, and I couldn't find anybody who knew how to actually function that second level. Now, my other guess was that, you weren't necessary, he wasn't necessarily just having fun with, he might have just like been standing. There might have been somebody laying down in the position with the stirrups. So he was inserting from a forward position, and then maybe the other person was doggy style from behind, and he might have just went like 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. Not sure. And if you're not getting the visual of that, it's like maybe insert, penetrate the top level, penetrate the bottom level, and back and forth. I don't know. I don't know, but I think he was creative, and kudos to him. He also was really, really active, and his wife must have known, because I can't imagine that having sex with prostitutes in the early 1900s, he was only in power from like 1901 to 1910, like 9 years, or 1909, 1910, anyway. And he caused a lot of havoc, but he caused a lot of havoc even when he was young. Apparently, the story goes that he actually was probably the reason his father, Prince Albert, died. And is Prince Albert named after that Prince Albert? That's a whole other show. Anyhow, if you didn't know what that reference was, you can go look up what is the Prince Albert. Have fun with that. So this furniture is fascinating, and it must have only existed in the last century, because prior to that, everybody was a prude, right? Nabob, it goes way back. So if you're just tuning in right now and you're wondering, why is this strange little lady talking, not that little, strange lady talking about sex furniture? Well, one of the reasons is because I'm a little bit having like a fascination for, oh, I don't know, 30 some odd years, 37 years about sex and human sexuality. It started when I was like 12 that I had a fascination and wanted to learn more and know more all the time. And if I could find reading material on it, even better. I love the history. I love the sociology. I like the psychology. All of it fascinated me, still does. So why do I talk about it? Because I think there's a bunch of other little weirdos out there, just like me, that enjoy this. I'm glad you're listening, because it's the listenership that keeps me going. And if you do love this video, please feel free, if you're on a place where you can follow and like and add whatever, feel free to do that. I love that. It helps me be motivated, helps me keep going. If you have topics that you think are interesting, feel free to write to me through my website at MilicaJelenic.com. That's my name, MilicaJelenic.com. Send me a note and just be like, hey, you know what? Got a crazy idea for you. Pass it on. So, who started these crazy kinky ideas? Was it Neanderthal? I don't know. I actually don't know, because we don't have evidence going dating that far back with visuals or anything like that. But I'm going to hike it all the way back to ancient Egyptians, even though I would say there isn't necessarily any proof that their furniture was used for anything sexual. The Egyptians were already very fascinated around beauty and a whole bunch of other things that would indicate that they probably did have a kinky streak, like the ancient Romans did and the ancient Greeks. I'm thinking that time, that era was going on, you know, 1000 BCE. Roman time is more like, you know, minus 200 BCE to like 200, 300 CE. So yeah. Anyway, so we're looking at, you know, a couple thousand years ago to, so like 4,000 or 5,000 years ago to like 2,000 years ago. What was going on? Were people horny? Did they need furniture to help them? My first thought is maybe we first created beds so that we could have more comfortable sex to begin with. I don't know. I don't actually think we have an actual reason why we first created beds. We probably started sleeping on the floors, which I'm sure we did. Then it was like, well, that's really wet. Let's put something under there, on there. We probably started putting things like leaves and skins and different things on the floor and slept on that. And then we're like, wow, what else could we do? Oh, there's all these duck feathers. Let's fill something up with duck feathers and see how that works. And then we started to get hay, like hay and feathers, and creating things that would have been similar to mattresses probably, and sleeping by fires in communal areas for the most part. So there wasn't probably a lot of privacy. There was probably a lot of just things happening right there in that communal space. And then as rooms started coming into homes and privacy started to become more common, the chances are people started to consider that, oh, now that we have privacy, what else can we do here? And then the really rich, who probably at that time did have privacy, when we're looking at emperors and things, Roman emperors, and then, you know, they're having massive spaces that they're living in. I don't think they refer to them as castles. I can't remember what they refer to them as, but in those spaces, you had spaces that were very specifically designed for pleasure and pleasure interactions, because they had a lot of parties. Those Roman emperors, some of them were some of the horniest, kinkiest, but also cruelest humans that have ever walked this earth. Even in the last century, there have been definitely cruel people have walked the earth, but there are some people going way back that were equally as cruel. So when we look at what was going on, there was like a really huge kind of polarity. Here's like wars and like trying to take over lands. And then you got people in this like lush lifestyle, having all this money from these wars and pillaging and all of that. And they're dedicating it to things that are pleasurable, like wine and cheese and food and sex and parties and more sex and more parties. And then what do? They're like, we need to make this comfortable so that people want to stay. And they create things that are like settees, and they create things like the Roman baths, where everybody just hops on in naked. And I guarantee there were orgies going on there. Not that they've actually gone and scraped to find what kind of human evidence was left behind There were 37,000 men's sperm in this old pool here. We can find this by evidence that dried up. I don't think they can do that. So that probably doesn't exist. My imagination tells me that this was happening. If you disagree, that's fine. But if you want to just hop on my fun ride, that's awesome. And stay tuned, because there's more of a fun ride into history. And why on earth did we do these things? Like, why did we create this furniture? What were we thinking? We obviously were thinking. We were really onto stuff. So stay tuned. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network. We'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelenich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@milicajelenich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. So what we were talking about just before break was we're kind of heading into Roman times, and one of the most famous, most debaucherous emperors of all time was Caligula. And he was, there are actually some really great, I think on the History Channel, some really great recounts of his life and what he did. And he was nasty. But aside from his nastiness, he was also really horny, and like he had parties. That guy had a lot of parties, and if you disagreed with him, he would just probably drag you through the street. He was also probably absolutely insane, because he at one point also had made his horse into a priest and had a whole bunch of servants look after the horse like it was a demigod, and fed it things like gold flecks in its food, which medicinally can make sense, but also insane when you are the emperor of a place where there are probably people starving at your feet and you're treating the horse like a demigod. All right, so we have these people who are having these massive, massive parties, and what do they want to do? Well, they're going to try and have as many people, and the people that they favor, they want them to stay. So they're going to have all kinds of scenarios and situations that are going on that will have people want to probably stay. And a lot of that was getting his top guys to be able to have sex in front of him. And he was definitely not the only emperor who did that. Like, if you look up debaucherous emperors or horny emperors or sick in the head emperors, probably every single one from history is going to show up, because they were demented. So you've got these scenarios where people are probably having sex. It's probably a violation, almost guaranteed. You've also got slaves who are probably being told and forced to do things. You've got slaves that are being probably created into eunuchs. You've also got situations where you would be set up to have an affair so that he could kill you for his enjoyment. So how does this furniture come into play? Well, all of this furniture is part of the setting of these crazy, crazy orgies that are going on. So there are seats, there are baths, there are probably tables, there are beds, there are massive things going on that are dedicated to debauchery. And that's part of what the Romans did. So, and prior to that, there's actually evidence in ancient Greece around the same time, but even prior to that, where, and a lot of actually the stuff that a lot of these emperors were doing, they were seeing was happening in Greece, and they just wanted to mimic it. Just like, I'm going to get really, what's the word for it? I'm probably going to get a lot of people mad at me, but you know, I'm saying the Romans stole a lot from the Greeks architecturally and with art and such. It's the way that they worked, right? So you can argue that I'm wrong. That's fine. Not Greek. It's not that I'm defending Greeks because I'm Greek. It's just that from what I learned, that's what happened. So you've got debauchery happening in Greece. You've got the Romans copying that. It's probably heading over to Egypt if it hadn't already started in Egypt and moved its way up. So what are the Greeks doing? Well, the Greeks, you can look at some of the ancient frescoes that were left in different places in the pottery that's been found. And some of that ancient Greek pottery, boy, it can show you a few, can educate you in ways that you maybe didn't even know human bodies could move in those ways. Whoever depicted some of the movements always made me wonder, like, now how on earth, what size of penis is required in order to pull off that maneuver? Or like, did somehow her vagin, or did somehow vaginal openings move from the front of the body in the last 2000 years to like between the legs? No, they didn't. But the way these pictures are depicted, it would make you think that you could have insertion from like a direct forward insertion, which is so strange. But anyhow, that's what some of these things depict. So we've got a lot of imagery from Greeks that also show different furniture that was used probably specifically by more rich people that were, you know, used for pleasure parties as well. You've got a lot of Greek gods that are dedicated to pleasure, like Dionysus. Wine, you know, he's dedicated to wine, but also partying. Like, you got a lot of fun happening with the different mythology, with people, you know, wanting to live like the gods. So there's a lot of mimicry going on, and they definitely created different furniture to make sex easier, for sure. Now, when we look at that stuff, when it gets uncovered, they'll probably go, oh, this was a bed. Do we know for sure that it was only a bed, or was it, you know, were people, you know, sleeping in different places, and that bed was specifically used symbolically, maybe for ritual, for like you got married and you go to bed together. You know, there's furniture has actually been referenced for sex, like they go to bed, like as if that is the place for that to happen, right? People don't often say, go to the kitchen counter. Oh, those two went to the kitchen counter last night. But they should, because the kitchen counter is highly enjoyable. You just have to remember to clean it. Also, generally not specifically designed for sex, unless you're my husband, who, at the time of putting in our kitchen, actually measured the counters to be the right height. Kudos to him. Most people who look at our kitchen don't go, oh, that's an unusually high counter. And I think to myself, it was specifically measured. I bet you didn't know, but now you do. And I bet next time you ever see my house or you ever come into it, you'd be like, oh, look at that. That is about 2 inches higher than the regular counter. Fascinating. Yes, it is. So when we're talking about sex specific furniture, it kind of like stayed about the same for a little while, right? We had like settees, we had beds. We had a few things that would have been helpful. And then there was this period in medieval time where torture started becoming really different torture. I mean, there was torture forever. I don't want to negate the other tortures that happened prior to that. But there were some specific tortures that started happening. Like the Vikings brought some interesting torture ideas over. As cultures started to intermingle, they would find ways to torture each other. The Spanish Inquisition, they had absolutely insane ways to torture people. And the any kinds of the witch hunts had strange and interesting ways to torture people. So all of that ended up leading to some of our modern day sex furniture. Who knew, right? So a lot of the things that we currently have, like the St. Andrew's Cross, I think it's St. Andrew's, I'll have to double check that name. There's the cross, there's like stocks, there's being put into cages, like all this stuff that was prior being used as torture devices is now actually being used. They're actually being used to have fun, right? So now, back in the day, BDSM wasn't called that because the S in BDSM, there's many variations of what BDSM stands for, but the S is generally sadism, which comes from the count whose name was Sadr, and he was French. And so he had some interesting devices in his space and castle. Actually, he was even for a number of years imprisoned in the prison of the day. Like he was kind of put into this lovely room, basically in a castle, and he was fed and stuff, but he was imprisoned for a number of years because he was a count. He had got away with a lot because back then you basically paid when you went to jail, you have to pay for your food. And if you wanted to upgrade, you could upgrade with money, right? So jail wasn't paid for by the people, for the people. It was different. So the count in his house, he had a lot of, because he, you know, he is what we refer to now when we say somebody's a sadist, it's because of him that we use that word. And so he liked to watch people be tortured. And so he had a lot of torture devices. So masochism is where people like to, so he liked to watch people be tortured and to torture them, and masochists enjoy the receiving end of that. So, but those are not necessarily terms that people are using commonly today, but has developed. S&M, probably if you grew up in the 80s, you would have heard of S&M. Those were sadism and masochism. So those were where those terms come from. Okay. So we have, now we're looking at like 17th, 18th century Europe. And we're looking at times. And the reason for that is because I tried, and Google, you failed me. I tried to look up histories from the 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th century in Asia, from China, Japan, Korea, Thailand. I tried to look up anything to do with kink and pleasure furniture. And you know what? Google brings nothing other than like modern day furniture that is historical furniture, but it doesn't actually show you anything historical or any references that I would have liked to have used to actually include that information. So I may be sounding really Eurocentric, but that's because that's the information that's available. So if any of you out there have information on any other cultures, it would be great to have that information out there in the world. So if you could either write articles or share that information, for those of us who are interested in this sort of thing, we'd love to know. And it's not that easy to find. And if you happen to be a scholar who knows about this stuff, I would love to know more. So please let me know. You know, whether there's books or articles or anything I can read. I would love to know more about other cultures other than the ones that I find are common for me because I'm from European descent. So I know about the history of the Romans and their kinkiness. But what I don't know, I know the Persians had fantastic scriptures. I'm going to call it scriptures. That's funny. People are going to be so insulted. They had fantastic books, writings, scrolls is what the word was I wanted to say. Scrolls that indicated amazing sexual positions called the perfume flower, something like that, or the flower perfume, the perfume, something or other. Anyhow, those are, you know, great texts that are dating back like 700, 800 years. And in the pictures and depictions, you'll also see furniture in there. And I don't know if the furniture was specifically designed for pleasure or if that was regular furniture and they were showing you what you could use around the home for better positions. It's hard to say. So when we return, we're going to talk more about the fun and odd things that are coming up into this modern era. What do we have now? What's going on in the world? Where can you buy stuff? Doesn't everybody want to know some great sites to go buy stuff? Yeah, you do. So you're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight we've been talking about fun, kinky, historical, and modern pleasure, sex-specific furniture. And we were just talking about the Marquis. Sorry, I called him a count, the Marquis de Sade. And he was such an odd character. But so for those of you who correct me in that last segment, that's cool. I get it. I called him a count, Marquis. It's not a title I think of very often. So we kind of landed on him, and where we were headed was into the Victorian era. And this is like, so why do they call it that? It's funny to me that people often wonder why was it called that. It was because Victoria was queen then. So it's reference to then, you know, there's Victorian era. And then after her son came in, that was Edwardian era. So it all depends on, even though his name was Albert, but as king, he was Edward. So the the change goes on according to these eras, just kind of like in China, where you have like the Ming Dynasty and different dynasties according to who was in power, right? So that's where our reference comes from. So now we've got from the Eurocentric point of view, we've got the Victorian era, which a lot of people would say, oh, Victorians were such prudes. They were strangely the least prudish people going. They really got creative. They had some, maybe publicly they were very restrained, but privately they checked out everything and tried everything. And they had different clothing made. They started to have kind of more erotic clothing, even though a lot of their stuff was covered, but underneath, when you think about the corsets and the all the beauty that went into the clothes, very, very like luxurious and sensual and like super sexy, right? So a lot of the furniture reflected kind of what was going on also in, I would think, in fashion. So you would have these big flowy dresses, and then you would also have furniture that had this like movement to it, and these high back chairs that were kind of also like settee sort of, I don't know the name of those. My grandmother had one and it was really cool. She always said it was because the women's dresses were so big that it was shaped in a certain way. But you know, as I got older, I thought, oh, actually, that was ideal for lounging in a certain position with having your head back. And then, you know, entry positions would have been easier. It got me thinking, right? So there are furnitures that you look at now and you might think, oh, that's a beautiful old piece of furniture. And what you might not think about is that, yes, that furniture might have been in their house and you might have even sat on that when you went over for tea. However, when those doors closed, you have no idea why they really bought those chairs. They just looked kind of like they fit in. However, they had a purpose. I bet you they had a purpose, and I bet you they bought them for the purpose that you and I are all thinking of. So you're going to find that a lot of this stuff that was going on in the 1800s ends up being a lot of the stuff that carries over to now, that people are now incorporating into their sex rooms or their entire like lifestyle. If you don't happen to have kids at your home and you might happen to have some really cool sex furniture around, or maybe you have kids and you have sex furniture around and that's why you have kids, who knows? There is really, really cool stuff. And one of the sites that I would direct you to is called roomsacred.com. I don't get anything for directing you to these guys, but they have a furniture section. So Room Sacred, R-O-O-M-S-A-C-R-E-D. So when you look at it, it's an interesting word. And they have all kinds of furniture that you can buy. And I would say the prices are quite like normal. They're not cheap. Like you're paying like $600 or $700 or $800 for a piece, but you're investing in pleasure. And so just keep that into account. And yes, you can probably buy them from other places as well. These guys have a lot of variety, and there are a lot of the things that I have seen recommended by like their these particular products that I see on their site are ones that I've seen used on, there was a show called Sexify Your Room or something like that. It was on Netflix. Maybe it still is. And then there are, you know, other friends of mine that are DOMs who would recommend a lot of these furnitures as well. So this is one of the places you can get them is roomsacred.com. But of course, by all means, go and search out. They do have some cool information on here too, some blog information. So yeah, so we're looking at the 1800s. Then what happens? Well, as we enter into the 20th century, and then we've got, you know, the 20th century was an interesting time. Started to become, well, for one thing that happened was we started to get antibiotics. So a lot of the STDs that people were dying from, they started to be able to resolve them in the 1940s and 50s and onward. So people were becoming a little bit more precocious. That's a good word. And they were having more fun. And then we have the 1960s where it was probably an all-out rager of STDs and unwanted pregnancies. But also, there were a lot of fun things that kind of came in, which was more kink related and also more discussion around sexuality. It was more open to discuss that, more open discussions around different kinds of relationships. So, people were having more than monogamy. People have always had more than monogamy, but there was like a revolt against all things colonial that started around then. And so the colonial ideal of monogamy also, there was like a revolt that started around then too. And so the cross, actually, I was correct, is a St. Andrew's cross. And it's hugely, hugely popular. So it is what you're thinking, probably a you're probably thinking a cross looks more like a T, but a St. Andrew's cross looks more like an X. And then your hands go up, you get tied, your hands go up on the upper part of the X, and then your feet go on the lower part of the X. Or if you're really acrobatic, reverse it and you're doing like a handstand and being tied upside down. So that's possible too. Or different positions. Like those are just two basic positions. Being upside down is not for the faint of heart. So it's something that you want to practice and just do short periods of time. That's a side note. So what starts to happen is people start to become more open and curious. And then as a result, we have people and companies and furniture designers starting to make things that actually are very specific for pleasure. And some of the things, especially with modern materials, we have like really good high density foams now that can be shaped into interesting shapes. So there's really, really cool furniture out there that you can get. And if you go on to roomsacred.com and you go under their furniture, you're going to see a whole bunch of things. But one of the things you probably did know about, you might have known about the St. Andrew's cross, you probably knew about, I would say you probably knew about sex swings as well. Those are pretty common. And if you are just sort of a person who's vanilla and listening to this and you're like, ooh, curious, there are so many fun pieces of furniture you can get that are dedicated, that are so, so dedicated to your pleasure. So from anything from something as simple as a wedge. So there's on this site, they call it a liberator wedge, which would mean that it's covered in this material that is going to soak up a lot of moisture wetness. So, you can have a G-spot orgasm on that and it's going to be able to be cleaned and wiped away. The Liberator, people who make the Liberator blanket, that's also part of there. And you can, so you can unzip it and wash the cover of the sponge. So yeah, sex wedge, pillows, those are great. There's different chair combinations that are like they look like gynecological exam tables. There's, different places, different things that you can actually keep your kid in. But I think my favorite is one called the Liberator SESSE Sex Lounger. It's beautiful. And one day I will buy it. It's only $625, but right now I actually just need to know where on earth I would put it. So it's comfy. It's got this really neat shape to it that's like a rounded M. And then it has an extra pillow that can go in the middle where the dip of the M is, like the valley of the M. And then there's a head pillow. And it's a Liberator one as well. So it's covered in that material that's super, super absorbent. And then one of the most, what I can't believe I forgot to mention this, the queening chair. And the queening chair, there is evidence of queening chairs going back to the 1800s, but I think even prior to that. So what are queening chairs? These are chairs that you can sit on so that sitting on somebody's face can become easier. So you sit on a chair that It kind of looks like a toilet seat hole, but it's much comfortable, more comfortable, and it's got usually some kind of padding on it. And you sit on that so your genitals are exposed. The person giving you oral gets to put their head and rest it on like a neck rest, and they get to be comfortable, and you just get to receive oral. Yippee skippy, nobody's in pain, everybody's happy. Every house needs a queening chair. No matter how you identify sexually, whether you're gay or straight, or if you're pan, doesn't matter. You need to get yourself a queening chair. I think so, because it's diverse. Everybody can use it. And I think everybody needs a sex lounger too. I'm just saying. So we got those. We've got St. Andrew's crosses. We've got all kinds of fun. Guys, I would love to hear from you guys if you happen to be listening on one of the sites where you can comment. Or if you just want to share, I like love to hear from people. Do you have any of these? Have you tried them? What's your take on them? Did you enjoy them? There's also things like coffee tables that are cages. So there's like a glass top. You can actually put things in. There's a hole in it too, so you could get your head out. It's good. It gives you air, but you can cover it in a blanket, so nobody would even know there's somebody hiding under your coffee table, and you've got your secret sex slave sitting in there. Good times. So there are boxes too that are, they're like queening chairs too, but they're also used for like scat play. So that's like, if you don't know what that is, I don't know if I say this on here, if I'm going to get, my show is going to get like, so just use your imagination. You would normally use it. You normally do this on a toilet, but in this case, you would do it on somebody body part. But it helps you to sit and be comfortable so that you can squat and let her go. So I think, everybody need, like I said, everybody needs one of these super fun, sex loungers. I don't see why not. I need to actually head to break. I was just like sitting there admiring the sex lounger going, I just also forgot the prices of them. That's why I just thought I'd go look and let you guys know. It's only $625. If you guys want to like start ideas of where could I put this, and then if you want to like, buy me one, I'm cool with that. I'm cool. I'll send you pictures of me on that. Just saying. You got to buy it for me first though. But all right, that's my suggestion for now. And I'm going to head to commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspire Choices Network. We'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@milicajelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight we're talking about historical and modern specific, pleasure specific furniture. So kink related, fun related. I'm thinking that most furniture, I'm just going to go with this. Most furniture had its original creation because people were looking for something to make sex easier. I'm throwing it out there. I'm probably wrong, but I like the idea that we only create furniture to make our sex lives better. And whoever wants to join me on that thought, and we'll just create a revolution where we're like, every piece of furniture should be able to be used in a pleasurable way to enhance our pleasure. It's going to create a very different outlook on people doing design, in homes. Like, oh, well, that's not functional for sex. We're not going to put that chair in there. Excellent. Let's try something else. So I think it's just smart, guys. Let's face it. So what we learned about today is that humans are highly inventive. From time that is recorded to time that is still being discovered, humans have always found a way to have greater pleasure and to find unique ways and unique positions to make it even better, because we're not really the prudes that, history would make us out to be. And whether it's four-poster beds that had a great function for being able to be tied to the four-poster bed, or, even I would say that what counts as furniture for sex would be like mirrored ceilings and mirrored walls. I had a friend in high school whose parents had a four-postered bed that the top of the bed was fully mirrored. And at 17, when he would show this to us, the first time I saw this bed, and I think I only saw it once or twice, I was like, oh, now I know why they're doing that. So it took me a second, but then I realized why. So good for them. I'm not going to name them. I do think the woman is no longer with us. But kudos to you for having that in your house. And so we have things, and maybe they're not so obvious. People, most of the time when they walk into my room, they don't realize why there's a hook in the middle of my ceiling, or maybe they do. I don't know. I don't have that many people walk into my bedroom, although one time my nephew did walk in, and he was like, my nephew's in his 20s, by the way, but he was like, oh, Melitza. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's what that's for. That's what that hook's for. You are right. So sometimes we have these things, and sometimes they're obvious, sometimes they're not. But what they always should be is pleasurable. And they should always be, especially the things that are for bondage, need absolutely be consensual. All sex needs to be consensual. All pleasure needs to be consensual. But when we're looking at, especially being tied up or locked up, this needs to be agreed upon way before it happens. So you guys know that because you probably avid listeners. And if you're not, go back and listen to the episodes all about, just getting your steps into kink so that you can be safe. So I'm curious, where do you guys think that sex furniture is headed in the future? I mean, we've already got vibrating chairs, and there already are things that you can add to different things, like there are things that look like carpenter's benches that have you can stick dildos to or vibrators to. There are things like, oh, there are so many benches. I didn't even get to half of the things that exist, guys. But if this is curious to you, I invite you to go and check out all the different furnitures that do exist and find something that works for you and invite it into your life. It's not like people have to know why that thing is sitting there with a plant in it. Oh, that's your queening chair. Fantastic. You never know. You could just stick a plant in the hole while nobody's around. In case you got kids in the house and they don't know, it's a plant holder. So you can find ways. You don't have to use excuses like there's children around. For me right now, it's truly a matter of space. Otherwise, let me tell you, I'd be having that lounger like maybe right here, maybe right behind me. Maybe I'll just move some of my furniture and get my lounger, my sex lounger, like right here, so that it's always here for you guys to see if you're watching on video. I think that would be kind for you, kind for me. And then I could just do my show from the lounger and like do different positions all the time while I'm talking, so you guys can enjoy the view. I think that would be fun too, right? Well, I can only do so much of that because my show has to be kind of being able to be viewed by all things that YouTube would allow, along with all the other stations and places that we're located. If you haven't listened to any shows or all the shows, go back and listen to them. You can find them on Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio. But remember, you can also book a time with me if you want, 30 minutes until the end of December 2024. You can still book 30 minutes with me for free.
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.